Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I was noticing the other day, I was, sometimes I make myself nervous when I watch myself. I don't know if you guys are that way at all. I don't mind speaking publicly, doing that kind of thing, but sometimes I look at me, I'm super critical of myself as I do it. And I was noticing yesterday, my glasses are crooked. You guys see that? See how my first of all, they cost a dollar. They're from the dollar store. But I thought, you know, right wing watching, those guys are looking at me, they probably think, that's this, look at that corn poke. Look at that corn poke. His glasses aren't even straight. So therefore, I think Professor Irwin Corey, or whoever that guy was, used to see on TV all the time. And I don't want to be a cheapie, but why get valuable, expensive glasses that you're going to lose? Are you going to crush or whatever? So these are my old, reliable dollar store glasses. Now, I got, as some of you know, I could wear these. They're red. I could wear these. They're purple. I could wear these. I don't know what those are. I could wear these. Depending on my mood. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. I could wear these. Maybe I'll have a contest to figure out which one of the glasses is that the people would like me to wear. I can actually see through these a little bit better. So I want to say this to Right Wing Watch. I was talking to Big Riches here. Drove out here last night to help put floors down here in the house. And we have floors. I'm sorry, flooring down. And I was telling Big Rich this morning, as we were sitting around having a cup of coffee, I said, you know what? There are people who are watching me right now. They think I'm a cowpoke. They think I'm an idiot. They think I'm a hillbilly. Pick out whatever word it is that you want to. You know, those people, those elitists, those people who go to university, they think they're smarter than everybody else. Last week, a month ago, I lose track of time. I had the opportunity to speak at in a high school. Thomas Worthington High School made a presentation of Christian faith and why, you know, why it matters, and argued, earnestly contended for the faith with all these high school students. I told most of you about that. And then a week later, I get they always have to write a little reaction to what it was I said. So every kid sends me about a page report. Actually, they hand it in to their teacher with a breakdown of what I taught and what they think about it. And then the teacher copies it to me, and I get to read it. And it was very, very enlightening and very, very eye-opening to me, because they said, several of them said, wow, he sure seems like a nice guy. And even though his beliefs are a little bit old-fashioned or backwards or whatever, I think he's got an open heart, and maybe if he could just be around some people who have a different point of view, maybe his eyes would be up type thing. You understand? In other words, they think I live under a rock. They think I'm part bullfrog, and they think that I'm reading this stupid Bible, and that's all I ever read. So Right Wing Watch, I want you to know this. I'm a highly educated guy. I'm not bright. I got to set the record straight here. Okay. I have a master's degree in education. I taught in public education for 35 years, worked towards my doctorate. I actually taught at the university level, Mount Vernon Nazarene University. I taught graduate level courses to teachers. I ain't some cowpoke, okay? I ain't some guy that just fell off the turnip truck here. And I would say to all of you out there, Right Wing watching you, that Kyle guy that has that man crush on me, brother, let me tell you something. I'm a hell of a lot smarter than you. I shouldn't have said that word. I'm sorry. I'm a heck of a lot smarter than you. You hear me there, cowpoke? You hear me? You're so stupid, you spent $70,000 to go to Harvard University or wherever the heck you went. You're dumber than a rock. You guys are dumber than a rock. And see, the Bible tells us that it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. And I was like you. I thought I knew everything until I found out I didn't know everything. And I used to think my dad was stupid till I became my dad's age. And then I realized that the older you get, the more wise you become. And what we're seeing going on out in the American society today is the adoration of knowledge. And knowledge isn't anything if you don't know how to apply it. And we see a generation of people who have lost the ability to think. We are programmed. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. We're programmed to receive. Hotel California, right? And most of what we see going on in America, people who are programmed to receive information, but they don't have any idea how to distribute it. They don't have any idea how to disseminate the information. We see it in the church. We see it in everywhere. I see Christians who are so stuck in a box that they cannot believe anything outside their Christian box. And I love the idea that my brain still works. I can think for myself. And I love to peek my head up every once in a while, look around and climb outside of the box and run and look at some other stuff that nobody in that box is, and jump back in my box. And I'm out of my box. And there's so many things I used to believe that I don't believe anymore. There's so many things about my faith that I used to believe that I don't believe anymore. There are so many things about Christianity that I used to believe that I don't believe. There are so many untruths that were taught to me by people who I trusted. So I ain't some old corn poke. You can think that if you want to. I'll match my degrees with yours. I'll be glad. I'd love to get on there with that man, woman, man. What's her name? On MSNBC? Matt, I'd love to get on with that dude. Hey, Rachel, you listening? I'm supposed to take advice from you, and you don't even know that you're supposed to love a man? You don't even have that figured out, yet you're supposed to give me advice about the world? You're telling me that you're on MSNBC, and you're giving advice to the world, and you don't even know who you're supposed to love? Are you kidding me? You don't even know how plumbing works? You got to be kidding me, right? And that you're the smart one, and I'm the dumb one? Tell me I'm wrong here, right? Rosie O'Donnell? I'm supposed to take advice from Rosie O'Donnell? Rot? You're making this up, aren't you? I'm supposed to take advice from Al Gore? Are you kidding me? Come on. What? Bill Nye, the science guy? Bill Nye, the science guy, doesn't even know where babies came from? He don't even get that? Bill Nye, the science guy, knows all this science? He doesn't even understand that it's a living being inside the mother? He don't even get that? And I'm supposed to take advice from him? Well, listen, boys, it's time to come out of the closet. And one of the things that we have to do, and what I've tried to do over the last year and a half or however long we've been doing this program, is I've been trying to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to try to help you to become not an apologist. See, an apologist isn't somebody who apologizes. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian apologist. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if my Christianity offends you. I'm an apologist. No. No, an apologist is someone who gives an explanation. Can define. I'm an apologist, and we should wake up other Christians to also become apologists in their realm of influence, where they can go to people and say, sorry, but that isn't right. That isn't right. Let me explain to you why that isn't right. I don't know why what's that? Camera down? Yeah. Okay. I get hopping around here. I don't know why I wanted to go on there, but I don't care how stupid they think I am. I don't care. Because the Bible tells me this, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Woo! That's about as far as you need to go right there, isn't it? That'll tell you everything. Hey, anybody want to piggyback on that? There's Roger. Roger's just as dumb as me, and he's got a law degree. Well, that does make you dumber. I agree with him on that. But the worldly standpoint, you're a very smart guy, Roger. You're a very smart guy.
Playing college poker. Are we playing academic poker?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Throw your ace out there, will you? Throw your ace out there.
I want in. Now, listen, I am a rather loyal listener of the Huddle. I got more diplomas on my wall than wallpaper. I got me a BS. I got me an MA. and I got me a JD, baby.
All right, man.
I trump you, buddy, and I've taught at the collegiate level of colleges, and I brush my teeth every day.
Amen. Sarge, what about you, Sarge? You look like a pretty dumb guy. You pretty dumb there, Sarge?
Yeah, I got one of them BS undergrads, and I got three of them things that say masters, but guess what? I didn't shower yet this morning.
let's crush all those idols that those folks have out there, right? Let's crush them all. You're probably, Wayne, you just some hill jack started a church. Is that who you are there, brother? Huh? You just some dummy that your parents taught you the Bible and you ain't never been out in the sunlight?
Yeah, I had to borrow some tea to make sure I look presentable.
Yeah. It's like I always told everybody. I used to make them mad down in West Virginia. See, out here in Ohio where I live, West Virginia was the slums. It's almost heaven, West Virginia. They say, listen, I'm not making fun of West Virginians. Go tell a joke. And I always love to do this. Every time I go down to West Virginia, Kentucky, by the way, same thing. Kentucky's full of moonshiners, right? Kentucky's full of moonshiners. West Virginia's full of hillbillies. Whatever. So I always used to pull in to get some gas or go to a restaurant or whatever in West Virginia. And I'd always get the waitress would come up to me and I'd say, listen, I just got a question for you. And she'd be smiling. She'd be holding her pad, taking my order. And she says, sure, sir, what would that be? I said, well, I just got a question. If here in West Virginia, when you get a divorce, are you still brother and sister? And she'd look at me like that. What? Like you just did. Huh? I'm still wondering, are you? And then I'd drive down Route 77. The deeper we get into West Virginia, I'd say, listen, we're now down here in West Virginia. Down here, the status symbol is the farther into the hills you get, the fewer teeth you have. So when you run into a West Virginian, if they got a whole mouthful of teeth, then they're probably from up around Charleston or maybe Wheeling. But the farther you get into the hills, the teeth level goes down, not lift.
Oh, Coach, that explains why we have such good senators and congressmen. I get it now.
Okay, man. Okay, I'm probably in so much trouble already. Hey, have a sense of humor out there, hillbillies, will you? Have a sense of humor. Can you understand that? That's the way they think we are, you know. That's the way they think we are.
What, Dave, but, the way you save yourself is now it's time to tell a lawyer joke, then you're okay.
I don't. Hey, Roger. Sorry, there ain't nothing funny about lawyers. Nothing funny. And in fact, every time I tell a lawyer joke, I get a bill for talking about him. So, I ain't going to go there. Hey, I'm excited today, a little bit light-spirited, kind of unusual. Hey, Michelle, am I doing okay today? Because she says, honey, you're always so heavy. You're always so heavy. Well, I said, well, truth's heavy. I can't get around it. Truth's heavy. Hey, how about this one? Now, Oprah wants to be president, right? Oprah. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help. I got so much stuff. I want to brag today. Hey, Jared, I'm catching up here, Jared. Hey, Jared, let's go down there. The last thing I put up there, brother, the Target thing from Breitbart. I want to brag a little bit here this morning. Can I do that? Let's flash that up on the screen, Jared. I'm sorry for those of you who are watching over the telephone. Hey, I understand you can't watch on the telephone. Time, I guess you could do that. I want to show you something. Most of you don't know this. It's this guy with these dollar store glasses right here. You see him? And teeth. This one's fake. That's a fake tooth. That's why it shines more than all of them. I got some holes in my teeth. My mom took me to the dentist, and I do, Roger, I brush my teeth at night too. In the morning? No, not just at night, just before I go to bed. You guys see this up on your screen? I want you to, I'm going to show you what this dude here in a cell phone can do. Stay with me. Target retailer hits $15 billion loss since pro-transgender announcement. This is on Breitbart. Target released this information yesterday. $15 billion in losses. Now, that's happened mainly because, first of all, Target being progressive the way they were the first ones to come out and say, our restrooms are open to anybody. Our restrooms are open. And they started the whole thing. Of course, after the whole Target thing broke loose, and then Obama, that anti-Christ communist Muslim Obama, he doubled down, said, now, okay, well, we're going to do it in schools too. Every school's got to be whatever they call that, gender neutral. Gender's a made up term, by the way. Gender. You check anything you want to scientifically, gender's a made up. It's a made up term. Of course, we're so stupid, we believe anything. And so Target says, we're going to be progressive here, and we're going to have any transgender restrooms. Anybody can use each restroom. And then I came across this. Stay with me. I found on the internet, or somebody sent me some information on the internet. I didn't know this. I said, why would they do that? Why would Target do that? Don't they understand that they're cutting into their base, the people that shop there? And somebody sent me an email or an article, said, no, this was planned by Target. Can I tell you why? See, Target thinks Walmart is West Virginians and Kentuckians. No teeth, no brain, no pants. All right? And so Target says, we're a little higher than Walmart. All those no teeth people, they can go to Walmart. But we want the upper echelon West Virginians from Charleston. We want them to come to Target. We want people to look at Walmart and say, not classy enough. We'll go to Target. So Target, knowing that, doing some studies, thought, the higher up the social ladder you get, the more progressive and open-minded people become. Therefore, we're going to go ahead and, it was done on purpose, we're going to announce that we are progressive and open-minded, and we'll weed out all those Target folks, and we'll get that next upper level who have more money than the Target folks, and that'll become our audience. Except they weren't counting on it, were they? They weren't counting on some guy with a fake front tooth, a dollar store glasses, and a telephone to say, not in my town. Not my town. No way. And so here we sit, April 26th last. I'm going to show a video here. Jared, get that first one ready. $15 billion Target, I'm going to tell you, will never recover. They will never be what they were. Now, I want to show you this because most of you don't know this. I started the Target boycott. I started it. Now, I didn't start it. That's not true. Well, maybe it is true. I don't know. But I went and played this. I went and did this video. I took my cell phone and I walked into Target. I saw that Target said that they were going to let men in the women's restroom. I said, this can't be right. So I took my cell phone. I visited our local Target store and I went up to the manager and I asked the manager, is this true? This video is about 2 minutes long. This video went around the world in 80 days, and round and round and round and round the world. This video by me with one tooth and these dollar store glasses has currently cost Target $15 billion. Now, I didn't do it myself, but this video launched the Target boycott. Jared, go ahead and play this. This is right off my cell phone.
Rather than stuff you read on the internet. What is the...
Jared, we missed a little bit at the beginning. Can we go back there? I'm sorry. We caught just here.
Okay,
we go.
Friends, I'm in Target store. I'm going to talk to the manager here. Maybe she
year ago
the answer to the question about the restrooms.
Hi there.
How are you doing? You?
Good.
My name's Dave Dolan.
Gianna. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Gianna. I've just been hearing a lot of things about your restrooms, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to get it from a horse's mouth rather than stuff you read on the internet. What is the bathroom policy here?
So the policy that headquarters sent down mm-hmm. was whatever you identify yourself as is the restroom that you are welcome.
Okay. So is there any qualifications? I mean, for instance, what would prevent me from right now being able to walk into a woman's restroom?
So the only thing they sent to us was honestly what you identify yourself as per gender mm-hmm. is where you can choose to go to the restroom. Okay. There's nothing from us that
you guys aren't checking it or anything like that.
No, we don't have okay. for my strength and along those lines.
You understand, though, as a guy that's got a wife and some daughters, that's concerning to me. I'm sure you understand that,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I definitely understand your concern, and we're hoping to get more information on it or, you know, what that entails. But, you know, as of right now, that's a policy that's been
okay.
sent down.
Cool. So just to make sure that I'm right, I could, in fact, go use the woman's restroom right now.
If you identified yourself as a woman, yes.
Wow. Self-identify, huh?
So it's based on.
It's just based on whatever the person thinks.
Yep. So
and it could change tomorrow. I mean, I could think I was a man. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to wrap my brain
around.
Yeah,
no, I understand. I'm glad you bring me your concern. The other thing I could do is we have a phone number. It's our guest relations number. That's more of a specific headquarters number. Uh-huh. They're the one who have the policy, brought it down to us.
I understand, because you're the one that really matters, because you're the person on the ground here. So if somebody came, you're the one that understands what the policy is.
Yep.
But this is a store-wide or company-wide, not necessarily you.
No,
that's not something.
Yeah, this is every
corporate
Target,
policy.
And this is corporate policy that came down. So this will be every Target that exists.
You're a sweetheart.
Hey, have a good one, okay?
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
Enjoy
you talking
your day.
To me.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. So there you heard it, folks. And I'm going to go over here once you see something here at the restroom. No warning at all. Men, please do not bring unpaid merchandise into the restrooms. And over here, women, no warning that a man might be in there. Please do not bring unpaid merchandise into restrooms. So there you have it. First hand from Target.
Now, folks, this is really before anybody knew about the Target policy. Anybody did. And it was really the Lord, because I just led her down the primrose path, and she just answered every question as honestly as she could. Anybody can walk in here. So I went home, and I posted that thing on my Facebook page. Said, can you guys believe this? Can you believe this? And boom, it went viral. Boom. Now, hang on. So here's what really got it gone. Is 2 days later, I grabbed my daughter, Maggie, Maggie's not a baby. She's 27, I think, at the time. And we went back. And I went back and I took a sign and I stood at the bathroom door and held up a sign, caution, men may be in women's restrooms. I held that sign outside the restroom while Maggie went into the bathroom. And lo and behold, what happens? Well, another manager, same store, shows up. And this is what really got it going. Go ahead, Jared. Two more minutes of truth. Hey, anybody, even guys like from West Virginia, can make a difference. Go ahead and play that real quickly, Jared. So there I am outside. I'm just holding a sign.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'm going to have to ask you to not have this sign here.
What's your name?
I'm Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. My name is Dave Dobbenmeyer. My daughter's in the restroom. I'm just kind of guarding it right now because I was in yesterday, and they told us that a man could, in fact, walk in on her while she's in that restroom. And I don't think that, first of all, I don't even think that's legal for Target to have that rule. And I'm not gonna let my daughter be in danger. So I'm going to stand here and let people know. I noticed on the door that there's no warning. There's no warning on the restroom
Wait,
door.
Hey, Dan, can I have you come up to the front, please?
There's no warning on the restroom door There's no warning. There's no warning.
Freeze
that
a second, Jared.
Walk in that restroom.
So she calls that little manager I talked to the day before. Gianna, can you come up here, please? Okay, so just like it says in the Bible, I went to him first, right? Did the right thing, went to him first. Go ahead and play it. Here comes Gianna.
There's no warning at all. And so I just feel that I have a moral obligation to warn women. That's what my sign says, that a woman could be in danger in the restroom if a man comes walking.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to ask you to not have that sign and
okay.
stand here.
Okay.
Or you'll have to leave the building.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand.
Do you want me to get authorities involved, or?
Pardon me.
I said I can get authorities involved.
Yeah,
but
I believe you're violating the law.
Isn't our store policy. This is something you talk to headquarters about.
Okay, I've talked to headquarters about it.
Okay.
And yesterday I was here as well, and they said that a man can walk in and use the restroom, a woman's restroom.
Can I have all of you put your cameras down? This is very.
I hate the cameras.
It's not your fault. You're just trying to do your job. I'm here trying to do my job to protect my daughter, to protect women.
Gianna's coming.
Okay. Protect
Gianna,
women.
Can I have you up here right now, please?
She's
a little bit nervous.
I spoke to Gianna yesterday.
Okay. She's going to ask you the same thing.
I know she is.
That's my buddy Ricky holding the camera.
I noticed again that everywhere I looked, what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Aaron,
everywhere I looked, there's no warning at all that a man could walk into a woman's restroom. And I think it's awful. And I understand that people want to use the restroom of their choice, but I don't think my daughter forfeits her right to privacy when she walks into a restroom in Target stores. And so I'm just trying to warn that there's a woman right there with two children that they shouldn't unnecessarily have this happen to them. Hey, Jan, it's me. Talked to you yesterday.
Gotta go,
guys. Jan, I just want you to know that I escorted my daughter into the restroom.
Okay.
I escorted her in, and I came to because somebody can walk in on her.
Okay.
And so that's our concern. Okay, we'll shut it off for a minute.
So there you have it. Please come. They were very kind. They walked me outside. There I'm holding the sign. The police came, went through the whole thing with them. And isn't it amazing that Target stores would make that policy and then make some little 26-year-old girl have to be the one to enforce that policy? So I just want you to know, again, those of you who were not aware of it, that camera right there started, hey, I'm the $15 billion man. Is that something? No, I'm not really. Because the American Family Association grabbed a hold of it, and they're the one who drove the boycott. Do you have any idea how much money $15 billion is? You have any idea? We can win this fight, folks. We can win it. Anybody want to comment on that before I go to something that doesn't seem to be so self-promoting? But I just thought it was it reinforces in my heart to those of you who are out there two things. Number one, I'll never ask or suggest you do something that I'm not willing to do. I'll never do that. And number two, sometimes it only takes one guy with a sign and his daughter to cause a ruckus. And we have got to begin to engage in this battle and cause more of a ruckus. If we don't stand up and push back. Now, here's how important that video was. 2 weeks later, the President of the United States is forced to come out in support of Target and to push that policy into every school, every public restroom that they could. Why? To protect Target. That's exactly why they did what they had to do. Anybody want to say anything? Am I bragging too much here?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, you started off talking about the intelligence or whatever you want to call it of liberals and stuff. And I just want to say that it was so clear that when you started that conversation with that young lady on your first recording, that she was so intelligent, she didn't even realize you called her a horse because you said you wanted to get it straight from the horse's mouth, and she let it fly right over her head.
Yeah, Larry, don't give her an idea. She'll sue me. There's got to be somebody that's offended there by being called the horse's mouth. Anybody else? What do you think, Raj?
I think it's time for another Target video. I think it's time to push the issue. Go back.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to do one in Oregon. That is cool.
Isn't that something, cool. Tim? And here's what people don't understand. I don't mean this as braggadocious. They don't understand that it started with me and a phone. See, Target, the American Family Association, who got involved with the boycott, used that video you just watched. They shot that video around the world. That is not fake news. That is real news that you would have never have seen on your local TV had I not shown up and did that. And it's important. Guys, we are all now citizen journalists. These things right here have revolutionized the world. And now we can bypass the gatekeepers that are out there. Cool?
You know, on a realistic view, before President Obama, ex-President Obama, made his declaration or his executive order or however he did it, that all schools had to open their bathrooms to transgenders or whatever the policy was, our local school district here in Horry County, South Carolina, a couple of days before that presidential proclamation came out, changed their bathroom policies to what it was going to be decreed.
And they were ahead of it, you mean?
Yeah, they were ahead of Obama's game. And they did not even have the courtesy to notify the parents of the students in the school system. My daughter had to call her school and specifically ask about the bathroom policy before she found out that my granddaughter, both of them that are in school, were in jeopardy of having men walk into the bathroom when they're in the bathroom because the school did not inform the parents what had happened.
Got a question here real quick. Who pays for those public schools? We know the answer to that, don't we? We know who pays for it. And yet in those public schools, they are going to mandate to you, Pastor Wayne, what kind of morality they're going to determine what's right and what's wrong. They're going to determine whether or not you are a bigot or not a bigot. They are going to take your tax dollars and cram their secular humanist values down your throat. And do you know what? When was the last big uprising you saw at a local school because this kind of crap was going on? When was it? See, we just roll over and let them do it, don't we? We just roll over. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Anybody else here for a change topics or not topics, but go to something different.
Dave.
Yeah.
A lot of schools, a lot of churches, their youth pastors try to develop a relationship with high schools. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Try maybe to be the football chaplain. There's nothing wrong with that. Or they'll go in and get permission to walk the hallways and so forth and do something as they want to get to know the students or support the students that go to their church. And I was always intrigued by all that time they'd spend doing that when I'm thinking the best meeting to go to is the school board meeting. And for the youth pastors and for us, whether we have parents or not, that's the meeting to go to raise a little bit of hell.
Right.
Go to
right.
The school board meeting. I've been to some of those locally over the years, and they're, for the most part, some decent people, but that's where you find out what's going on, and that's where we need to raise some holy hell when things are being voted on in there.
Amen. Amen. Boy, that's a thankless job to school board because everything is mandated from on high. Larry's got us a caller there. Go ahead and put him up in the air there, Larry, if you can.
Okay, go ahead, Jen.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. I just want to add my two cents, Coach. You know, a secret to this culture war is to be a father to the fatherless, like the Lord has spoken the word. You can diffuse the culture war between the feminists and the women that aren't feminists.
Right.
By being a father, you've already learned a huge secret because bullying will change. Everything will change when the man stands up for the kids and the women.
Amen.
That's my two cents.
Amen, Jen. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you this, guys. There's nothing that would scare a superintendent of schools more. Well, you let me ask you, what would scare you more, a room full of women or a room full of men? Room full of women or a room full of men? You're sitting up there as superintendent of schools, and in walk 26 burly men with no teeth. Who's going to scare you more? Come on, we got to wake up here. Bless you, Jen. Jeffy, you're up in the air here this morning. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Coach?
I'm fired up.
Hey, you know, you was talking about that Target thing, and think about it. You know, what was it? Me, you, Ricky, and your daughter. Four people.
Yeah, I'm sorry, folks. Yeah. Jeff was with me. Jeff is witness to the Target. Jeff went with me.
And all our friends told us before we went with you down there, they said, you guys are going to go to jail. You go in there with Coach doing that. And we're looking at him like, what? You know, but remember the response of the cops?
Oh, my.
They were great to us. They agreed. They pretty much agreed with us. They couldn't do it. But you could tell them men didn't agree with that either.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
It didn't take many, just a few. Just go do something and make a difference. You know what I mean?
Jeff was ahead of the curve, folks, about 5 years ago, maybe longer than that now. Jeff went to his local school board regarding the filthy books in the library. Talk about that a second, Jeff.
Oh, that was just disgusting. We got one book I took in there. I went meeting after meeting.
Hang on, guys. Hang on, Jeff. Book. Hang on. Jeff went to their local library. He went to the library in the school and found some of the books in the library. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, and so what they've done is they fired a Christian teacher for the Bible on the desk. So we go in, and I thought, what better time? You got 200-300 people at a school board meeting. Let's go in and expose the dirty books. So I go in there, and I read one of the books, just a short paragraph, no foul language. And it was basically telling these kids, the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, how to have anal sex. And it was talking about using your fingers, using toys.
In the library, right, Jeff? In the library.
Yes, sir.
The elementary school library.
Yep. So I go in there, get my 3 minutes, read with all these people. There are probably 250 people in there. The news was there. The radio station was there. And these people were cringing. So as I get done, the school board sits there and looks at you like you got three heads. They don't respond to you. I walk out of that school board meeting that night, and guess who jumped me out front and attacked me?
A pastor.
A pastor and his son, that's the assistant pastor of the church I used to go to.
Accepted
and their response was, Jeff, that's not the way you handle that. And I looked at him, I said, well, Pastor Dan, I said, show me the way to do it, and I'll follow your lead. Then they got all nervous and started stuttering, and then that was the end of the conversation. They were done.
So, Jeff,
they come out and ripped me.
The amazing thing was, Jeff, the people at the school board meeting were more offended by what you read publicly than what their children were able to read privately.
Yeah, they said I shouldn't have been reading that in that school board meeting.
Yeah, shouldn't be reading it. Just let it hide there in the back room and let the boys go in there and read it and go in the back room and masturbate. Or let them go in there and fantasize about what they want to do to – you got – hey, fuck, say, Coach, that's graphic. I know it is. I know it's graphic.
Well, you can go into your middle school or high school libraries and find at least 100 to 150 books on homosexuality and all kinds of sexual perverted stuff in them libraries.
Yep, yep. Amen. Hey, Jeff, you're one of my heroes.
But we just got to go do something.
We got to. Ain't about time somebody. Hey, Jeff, do you have any teeth?
Well, they're dentures. I guess I did lose all mine. So
okay.
I'll probably heal, Jack.
You lost yours from meth, though, didn't you? You probably lost yours from meth, which ought to be, to me, that ought to be progressive if you're smoking meth and ruining your teeth.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, did the government pay for your new teeth?
No, they didn't.
Daggone. There had to be a program out there. You just missed it, brother. That's all.
I know it.
All right, brother. Hey, do me a favor.
All right, see you.
Hey, Jeff, do me a favor. Yep. Shine up that tooth, will you? Shine up that one tooth you
I'll
got.
Do her.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. I forgot Jeff was there with us. Oh, my God. I'm all over the place this morning. But I'm having a bit of celebration to try to encourage us. See, Tim, you might be alone, but you're not alone. You're not alone, man. You got a phone. You're not alone.
Hey,
you're not alone.
Let me tell you a quick story. I was a youth pastor in Hillsboro, Oregon. We led so many kids to Christ that one of the teachers in the school said, hey, all these drug addict kids in these hoods, their lives have changed. Can you come to our classroom and tell us what happened? So I go to the high school. I go into this classroom. There's 40 kids in this classroom. And some of them are just out to lunch, like drugs and all that kind of stuff, divorced families. I talk about Jesus in his classroom, and then I give an altar call. And this teacher, instead of giving an altar call, these kids are bowing their heads. I'm giving an altar call, and this teacher does this. She's going, I was just scared to death.
She's panicking, huh?
She's panicking. Three kids gave their heart to Jesus in the school classroom.
Can't have that going on.
Oh, it was so dynamic, man. And you know what happened after that? We doubled in size in the youth group. It was unbelievable.
Amen, Tim. Amen. Hey, folks, we gotta combat the enemy. Hey, Jared, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right? So I want to be here this morning. We doing okay this morning, Raj? We're doing okay, aren't we? Got to get a little bit of Bible in here. Hey, folks, I want to say this publicly. Two things I want to say publicly. I forgot. Number one, I want to thank Chad Estes' wife, Michelle, for the unbelievable hospitality that she gave us when we were out there last weekend. My wife is the number one hospitality queen, but Michelle Estes was right there beside her. And I just publicly want to say that I appreciate that and thank her for having done that. And then number two, I forgot. That's it'll come to me, and I'll come back to it. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to start in verse 22. Show you what's going on here. Here we go. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteous faith, fight righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Wait a minute. That also is conditional, isn't it? What? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Flee youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with everybody you come to. With everybody you meet on the street. No. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Conditional. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. What's a foolish and unlearned question? So do you eat shellfish? Do you wear cloth that's mixed threads? Do you stone your son for speaking back to you? Those foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Just avoid them. Why? Because they do engender strifes. Right? No, don't fight over stuff that's stupid. But be gentle unto all men. Now, gentle doesn't mean huggy, 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 soft, soft, soft. Gentle means to be controlled and focused. But be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness. Again, control, not can I share the Jesus with you? In meekness, meaning focused and controlled, instruct those that are fighting against themselves. If God, by chance, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Devil's taking up people captive. Taken captive. Next verse. Because remember, there are no chapters in Paul's letter. There's only chapters in the Bible. And he says, okay, then know this. Things just going to keep getting worse. Remember, the last days perilous times shall come. Remember, Paul thought, the New Testament church thought the imminent return of Jesus was upon them. That he was going to return every day, at any time. And Paul's not talking about last days. Paul's talking here about the condition of a man's heart. Know this also, that as things progress, it's going to get worse and perilous times are going to come. Time out. Wayne, you're probably a better theologian than me. Did some perilous times come upon these boys, Wayne, in the book of Acts? Huh? So he was talking about right then and right now, boys, this is going to be tough and ugly. You better be ready because perilous times are coming. And he said this is not a sign of the end times, folks. This is a sign of the unregenerated heart that he was speaking about in the previous couple of verses, right? Apt to teach, right? Why? Because perilous times are going to come. Because men are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. This still applies today. It's the nature of man unrestrained by the Holy Spirit. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Women will actually kill their children. Truce breakers, false accusers. Look what they're doing to Trump. Incontinent. I don't know. Does that mean wetting their pants, Wayne? I don't think that's what it means. But fierce, incontinent, I think, is without control, what I think it means. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Some of them have a form of godliness and go to church and tell you that you're wrong for judging and pointing out. They have this form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the power of Jesus to deliver the lost. They deny the power of Jesus to reform a darkened heart. They deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. Don't even hang out with them. For this is the sort which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. These women led away with their divers lusts. These silly women ever learning, and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boys, this is upon us right now, and it doesn't have anything to do with end times. This is a picture of the unregenerated heart of man, the dark heart of man, unrestrained by the Holy Spirit. And it'll get so bad that it's going to end up in the church. And now we see the women's march for lesbianism, silly women laden with lust. Tim, you're leaning forward. Does that mean you weren't going to get ready to burst? Nope. What do you think, huh? What do you think? There it is. There it is. So that's what we're dealing with.
No, and I'm just reading with you. Wow.
Okay. And so it says, listen, silly and unlearned questions avoid. In other words, guys, hear me. Please hear me. Stop arguing with the leftists. Stop arguing with them. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. In fact, this scripture is written to Timothy, and he's talking about, again, the church. If you have to argue with people in the church as to whether or not homosexuality is right and wrong, you probably ought to leave town. You probably ought to get out of there. If they don't even have the sense to understand that a man has a male sex organ and a woman has a female sex organ, and it is designed so that the male plug goes inside the female plug, and that the rear end, the anus, is an exit wound. It's an exit place. If they don't have the sense to understand that the male organ goes into the female organ, that's the way God made it. And if they want to tell you that a man doing that to a man is normal, I don't even know if you argue. I just get out of there. Paul said, "What do you don't?" Don't even mess with somebody stupid as that. But we do, don't we? Silly women laden with lust. Can we go back to Titus? Was it in Titus the other day that we were reading it? Because I want to connect this dot. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where was it? Titus. You listening up there, Rich? I hope he's listening up there. Titus chapter 1. Let's go back there, man. Verse 10. Hold it. There you go. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Hey, he's talking about the church. The circumcision means believer. So there are many unruly and vain talkers. 11, Rich told us, whose mouths must be stopped. Why? They subvert whole houses. Churches, they subvert whole churches. We saw it yesterday, right? 90% of believers aren't believers. How do they subvert whole houses? Why, they teach them things which they ought not. Simply for money. So it says, filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars. Evil beasts, slow bellies, and they're talking the truth. So again, trying to help us to see the battle that is lying before us, and that the battle is inside the church.
Look at Titus 1:13 for a second.
Okay.
We're always told we're too rough on them. We got to be nicer when we're out at the sisterhood march.
Right, right.
This testimony is true. Therefore, in my Bible, who knows what King James says, rebuke them sharply.
It's King James, brother. That's what King James says.
And the idea is this, the rebuke, it's not civility all the time. Rebuke them sharply. That's the Bible. It's there.
That's right. And Roger, you raised two wonderful sons. That was the other point I wanted to make. It's the other point I wanted to make. Let me come back to that. There's a difference between correcting and rebuking. Correcting and rebuking. And I want to say this publicly. Remember I said I got two things I want to say and I forgot the other one? Twice in the last week, I've been under attack on the internet, or something I said under attack on the internet, and both of Roger's sons, Dylan, who joins us regularly in the huddle, and Dustin, who watches the huddle, doesn't join us live, both of them stood up like men of God and fought back against their friends. It's amazing, isn't it, Roger? And I heard from Dusty yesterday. Dusty texted me and said, "Hey, Coach, just want you to know, yada, yada, yada. Thanks for showing us how a real man should act." Brother, that there's hair on my chest when I get that kind of stuff, when guys are beginning to get it. And Kevin put over here on the side, expressed sharp I think it means to rebuke, Kevin, express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. She had rebuked him for drinking too much. Synonyms of rebuke: reprimand, reproach, scold, admonish, chastise, upbraid, berate, take to task, criticize, censure. There it is, rebuke. Express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. What did it say, Roger? Rebuke them sharply. Not just rebuke them. Put a little, yeah.
I think we can go to first or second John where it talks about to grab them out of danger. You know what I'm saying? I forget the verse.
That's Jude. Let's go to Jude real quick, folks, just so we show that this theme runs through the whole thing. Book of Jude. Go to the very end. Verse 20.
You are to grab them.
But be ye, beloved, building up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Watch now. He's going to say, keep yourself in the love of God. Now watch what the love of God looks like. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a difference. And on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Roger, that's love. That's love, he's telling us. Right? Now to him who's able to keep us from falling. Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness, this is good stuff.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Did Jude just say keep yourself in the love of God?
Oh, no, Larry, don't.
That must mean there is an out of the love of God position here on earth here somewhere.
Larry, I hate it when you do that.
That kind of blows some people's theology out of the water.
Oh, but, Larry, I hate it when you do it. I got so much good stuff to show you today. I didn't even get to it. Hey, Jared, let's go real quickly to my buddy Lee Dwiggin. It's the last thing. Last thing I got there. I want to share this. Lee Dwiggin's one of my fellow writer. Did I send that to you, Jared? Yeah, I did. Sure, I did. And the very last thing on the email. The link. Oh, I see what happened to it. Oh, daggone it. Hang on, Jared. You need to read along with it. Hang on a minute. Let's go to news. Jared, go to newswithyous.com real quickly. Newswithyous.com. Because my buddy News, Lee Dwiggin, wrote this today, and it's really good. Okay, click on that. Good. Now click on Lee Dwiggin. Right, he's right up there at the top, Jared. Go back up the top. Right there's his face, Lee Dwiggin. There you go. They hate everything we love. Roger, this is so critical for us to see. See, the left is showing us. If we just open our eyes and understand, okay? Here's what Lee Dwiggin wrote yesterday. Lee's a good man. He said, remember when they booed God at the Democrat National Convention in 2012? Should have told us something. Should have told us what we were in for. But Mitt Romney still found a way to lose. Now, 5 years later, we have managed to win a national election, and Democrats are back to booing God. The latest example was at the Republican Town Hall meeting where they booed the prayer, loudly booed the opening prayer. The prayer got them riled up. Prayer, prayer, one guy yelled. Pray on your own, bellowed another. And a woman at the top of her lungs invoked the name of Lucifer, who runs American leftism when George Soros is otherwise occupied. They got especially raucous at the mention of Jesus' name, and then they heckled and booed the recitation of the pledge. And at this point, we usually hear liberals deny they're anti-Christian and angrily declare, "Don't you dare question our patriotism." Again, these people are energetically showing us who they are, and shame on us if we don't listen. Why do liberals hate God? Because they're after his job. They want to sit where he sits. And they insist that they can, and they're going to do everything that they can. And will do all the things he should have done but couldn't do because he doesn't exist. They, by the brute force of an all-powerful government run by themselves, will wipe out income inequality, abolish hate, war, poverty, disease, and while they're at it, save the planet. And we'll all live happily ever after as citizens of the world. They haven't gotten around yet to offering us forgiveness of sins and eternal life, but trust me, they're working on it. So they boo God, boo the country, put up yard signs as one of my neighbors has done, proclaiming the gems of tolerance and wisdom as patriotism is for scoundrels and blankety-blank clingers and Black Lives Matter. Science, they mean global warming and evolution and abortion. Science is real. And as the bottom line, kindness is everything. I don't think I want to know how they define kindness. The Bible's already told me that the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Don't miss that. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Proverbs 10. Leftist kindness usually involves a lot of barbed wire and piles of dead bodies. Just how addled up are these liberals? Turn to one of our great state universities, for example. At the University of Michigan, students don't ask what they're students of anymore. They're demanding of the university to set aside "No Whites Allowed," a space where persons of color and no one else are allowed to organize. It takes liberals to give a bad name to justice. There used to be a lot of spaces set aside for persons of color only. Cafeterias, buses, restrooms, schools. It was called segregation. And it took the Supreme Court, the President, the National Guard, several acts of Congress to bring segregation to end. Not to mention Martin Luther King Jr. and many others being thrown in jail for opposing segregation. It was a really bad thing, right? Now these students, college students, want it back. They should be more careful what they wish for. They've cut the cable that anchored them to God. And now try to tie up the water. Anyone can see how well that works. Does anyone agree with me that drastically cutting the funds of the universities and cutting the whole system back down to size would be a fabulous idea? I mean, how many master's degree in gender studies and social justice studies does this country need? How much does a student pay for an advanced degree in women's studies, and what good does it do her? That and a lot of serious groveling just might land you a job working behind the counter at the 7-Eleven. Whether or not these liberals are beyond hope or repair is not for us to say, but we need to keep our heads examined if we think about ever again allowing them to run the country. They hate everything we love, and they will take it away from us if they can. Bless you, Lee Dwiggin. Boys and girls, that is the battle. That is clearly laid out. See, they don't just want to worship their God, they want to kill ours. And not only do they want to kill ours, they're going to kill as many of us as they can on the way to being their own God. Somebody wrap it up for me here. Nobody? Nothing to say.
It's pretty simple. There's right and there's wrong.
I'm sorry, let Michael get in there. Go ahead, Michael.
Coach, we all have a voice. All of us have a voice. And there's fire in the words that you speak. When you use the fire that's in you to speak words that are of truth and of God, you defeat the enemy, period. Go with confidence and trusting God in whatever you say. Don't worry about what you win. Worry about being there, speaking the truth. That's what you did when you showed us the target thing. You spoke the truth. The truth penetrates because there's fire in the word. And whatever words you use, as long as they align with what God's plan is, you are going to win, period.
Amen.
Don't look at which is a victory and which isn't.
That's right, brother. Just present your body a living sacrifice. Do something and give the Lord the opportunity to take a little internet video and cost somebody $15 billion. That's the hand of God breathing on the actions of a man. Do you understand that, guys? That's all that is. That's all this is.
Great. We got to get ready for your birthday.
Prayer is not enough. Prayer is not enough. God bless you guys. Love what we're doing. Keep after him. Keep on the front lines. Don't back down. I got to go shine my tooth. We'll see you tomorrow.